It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. With the recession eating into profits, many employers face a difficult choice, cut jobs or cut wages. More often than not, companies choose to cut jobs. That's because many fear that if they do slash pay, the best employees will leave and the least productive ones will stick around. But Federal Express decided to take that risk. Late last year, FedEx cut management and professional salaries by 5%. Some benefits have also been cut. This has saved jobs, but according to FedEx aircraft mechanic Billy Self, morale has still taken a hit.
When I first started 13 years ago, FedEx had a philosophy they called PSP, People Service Profit, whereby you took care of the people, provided good service, the profit would come. And as of late, they've given up on the people portion. The morale is pretty bad there now.
How do you know that? How does it express itself?
We no longer feel that it's, you know, our company at one time, or especially when I hired on. Everybody felt a part of FedEx, and that feeling is just no longer there. It's just become a job and a paycheck to most people, and we never know what's around the next corner.
Self is an hourly worker, so he did not have to take that 5% pay cut. But he is feeling the financial pinch in other ways.
Overtime is cut back to zero now. Paid lunches, those sort of things, we no longer get.
What about benefits?
Oh, yeah, benefits, health insurance. Pension is where we probably took our biggest hit. Me, personally, I took a cut of probably $20,000 a year after retirement. That's where we took our biggest hit, for sure.
FedEx is not unionized, though the Teamsters are hoping the rough economy will help them organize. Chris Chafe is head of a labor federation called Change to Win. He says cutting jobs and wages could have disastrous consequences down the road.
We look at what happened in Japan during the 1990s. They never pulled themselves out of recession there because they did not feed the most valuable drivers of consumer purchasing, which is workers. So what we see happening in the layoffs and the wage cuts, we believe actually is just following the worst possible model. Because if we continue to cut jobs in this country, if we continue to cut wages, we're actually taking money out of the pockets of the people who are going to spend that money and help drive our recovery.
Although if you think of the private sector, this is not probably an easy moment for you to go to General Motors and say you really ought to be raising wages.
No, that's right. But I think that what we have here is a huge problem at a macro scale that is not going to get solved by folks laying off workers or cutting wages. We think that if we follow this path, we are literally digging an even deeper hole for ourselves on a collective basis.
Federal Express is one of a number of companies that in recent months has cut wages for their professional workers. And in fact, the CEO took a big pay cut. Mm-hmm. And they have argued that cutting wages, painful as it may be, spreads the pain and they don't have to cut jobs. Mm-hmm. Why not do that?
I think that if that's what a company and its employees think is the right idea, and people, there is a trust level there between company and management, then that should be their prerogative to make that move.
But you're arguing that that's a disaster. On a wide scale,
well,
socially, that's a disaster.
No, I'm saying that in general, this trend of lowering wages as the solution are actually worsening the spiral into an even greater depression. We believe that there are probably other pools of funds that could be looked at across the board. All these factors should be put on the table, not simply workers' pay. That's often the first thing that gets put on the table. That's a very rare example, frankly, of a situation where an executive is taking the same medicine that they're advocating for their own workers.
I'm just thinking about the average worker who's, you know, barely got a job, mm-hmm. and the thoughts that go through that person's head about whether they want to take a chance on angering their employer at this moment. Is it hard to unionize when times are hard?
I think it's almost always hard to unionize in general. Obviously, there's going to be challenges posed by our economic situation, but I don't think that changes people's fundamental interest in taking steps to help themselves be in the best possible position to better themselves, to bring about a deal that the market can bear, that their employer can bear. that might provide their families with health care, I think they will take that step forward.
Didn't union membership go up dramatically during the Great Depression?
Yes, it did.
Why?
Because I think people saw that even in the times of Great Depression, even in these times, you have enormous profits still being made. What happened in the 1930s was that the labor movement was able to stand and organize workers to come together around their common benefit. I think that same spirit is possible today, even in hard times.
I guess the other thing that happened in the Great Depression that might be relevant now, because the administration and Congress are talking about a labor bill even as we speak, is that the rules were changed.
Exactly.
Under Franklin Roosevelt. It became easier, legally easier to organize.
Yep.
And that made a huge difference.
I think you've hit on a very important point, which is that during the Roosevelt era, it was much easier to form a union. And it's not a coincidence that during that same period, we saw the birth and nurturing and existence of a strong, vibrant middle class. And I believe that that happened because workers' wages rose, and those same workers drove economic recovery across the country.
Chris Chafe, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Chris Chafe is head of the Labor Federation, Change to Win.